With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, Sports Huddle. Mike Max, Dave Mona, Sid Hartman joining us, the head coach of the Minnesota Wild, just back from the lake and fishing with Ron Shero. We'll get into the sympathy that I have for him on that a little bit later. Bruce Boudreau, how are you? Did you catch any fish?
I am the world's worst fisherman. And I think where I go, fish just scatter to all other parts of the earth.
I'm going to give you a little secret. That's because you're with Ron Shera.
Well, no, Ron was great. I just didn't get a nibble for 5 hours on the water. So that's why I'm sort of sticking to the land these days.
You like that water with ice on. Say, before we get into some of the semantics of this past week, Carter Casey was a young man that through Make-A-Wish had a chance to sign a one-day contract with your team. And he passed and went on to a greater calling last night. And I know that affected you and the Wild organization because it was, in typical Wild fashion, they did an outstanding job of making this kid feel really good for a bit.
Yeah, it's a very sad day, and he was part of the Wild family, and we're sorry that, you know, things ended the way they ended, and we'll always have great memories and thoughts of him.
You signed Kyle Rau. Does he fit in your system at all?
Pardon me?
Kyle Rau, the Gopher.
What's Well, we're going to... We'll have to see. I mean, I don't know. I've quite frankly, I've never seen him play. I mean, he's going to get an opportunity, to show his stuff in training camp. And hopefully he's, we'll take all the Gophers we can take. So if he shows his stuff and he does a good job, maybe he's got a chance to stick him.
You had a chance to watch summer camp this last week. What were your impressions of some of your prospects?
Well, you know what? It's the second summer camp that I've watched it, and this one I was there the whole time, and I was more impressed this year than the previous year. I thought there was a lot of really good skaters. I thought the try was a lot harder. I thought a lot of good things came from it, and I think just for the future, it looks bright for the Wild, and I think we've got some good prospects coming up along the way.
Bruce, here's a question that comes in a little different direction. We had a chance to hear from a National Hockey League official during the week, and he pointed out that of the 80 or so officials in the National Hockey League, there are 8 Americans, 1 Russian, and everyone else is a Canadian. I had no idea that Canada had such a stranglehold on NHL officials.
Well, there's an awful lot of games. I wish they we're going to have to find new countries.
Be careful now.
They must develop them there like they do the juniors. You know, Bruce, another interesting part was your son was part of the training camp. He's going to play on a junior team that you own. You just purchased a junior team that will be in Coon Rapids this winter.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. I know Brady had a tremendous time at the development camp. It's a little tougher when you're the goaltender because you're seeing shots coming from potential NHL players, Division I college players, American League players. So it's a better competition than he's seen. But the team itself, we're really excited about. It's another a junior team in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area in Coon Rapids. And it is something I think a little differs from the high school. It differs from the professional. But it gives kids a chance that when they're done high school and they're not going to college far away to continue a career in hockey, and like from the 17 to 21 year old ages, and like Charlie Coyle played in this league, and
sure.
And people saw him, and I think when I went and saw a couple of my son's games last year, I was very impressed with the skill and with the intensity that they play with. So when we were thinking about this, we thought, what a great idea, and the people of Coon Rapids have really taken to it, and they've really supported us in a great way. So we're looking for a lot of good things to happen here.
Bruce, with the very early part of your career based in Minnesota, and then you returned to Minnesota, have you ever had a chance to attend a Minnesota State High School League championship game? The, you know, much revered here in the state, but I'm not sure how it worked with your schedule.
Well, you know, that's the problem here. I mean, it is so popular that they kick the Wild right out of town when they're doing this, because, I mean, they take over the XL Energy Center and they sell it out all the time. So when they do the scheduling, they don't even attempt to schedule us in town there, which sort of bothers me, because I would love to see the enthusiasm of not only high school hockey, but the enthusiasm of the fans that go to support their school. It would be pretty cool. Hopefully one day I'll get a chance to see it.
Bruce, do you stay in touch with, I mentioned you're fishing with a couple, there are a couple guys involved in that. Zucker was involved, et cetera, yesterday. Do you stay in touch with players during the off season? Do you talk to them about their off season and what you're trying to get out of it? Or do you just wait till camp?
Well, you know what? Some guys you wait till camp. Some guys you keep a handle on and talk to them. We just sent out a letter, Sean Skahan, the strength coach, and myself, telling them what to expect the first day at camp. But I, you know, over the course of the summer, there's so many events, and you meet the new players and all that are going to come into the area, that you talk to them, and you definitely stay aware of what they're doing during the course of the summer.
Bruce Boudreau, thank you for being our guest and for being here. We'll get you a certificate to the best steakhouse in the country, Murray's Steakhouse. Thank you.
All right, I appreciate it. And, you know, I always like eating, so that's good.
Yeah. And I just unlike the popcorn lady the other day, they get it right every time.
Absolutely. Perfect.
Thanks so much. That's Bruce Boudreau back with Glenn Taylor. Talk some Timberwolves basketball, hot topic in town. We'll do that right when we come back. Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, we're standing by to talk to Glenn Taylor, who should be joining us any minute now. Sid, we got a text message, leads right into it. Sid, if you were the general manager, would you have traded Ricky Rubio?
No, I definitely wouldn't have.
Why not?
I think that was a big mistake. There's no reason to expect Teddy to be better than Rubio. I thought his shooting the latter part of the season was as good as you can expect a point guard. He made all the free throws. That trade is going to bounce back and hurt him.
What did you think of the signing, which is a signing now? When we talked last week, they hadn't signed him. Crawford, NBA's best sixth man, three different times.
Well, Jerry Zagoda had a pretty good story in the paper. And according to Jerry Zagoda, Crawford will fit in real good. We'll see what happens. They got to sign four more players. They only have 11 players on the roster.
Technicality, he never uses beyond the 11th player anyway.
No, it's just money.
Thibodeau never uses anybody beyond 10 players.
Yeah.
I talked to Trent Tucker the other day because he had a similar role to Crawford when he was in.
Sure.
And he said this is a tremendous signing because at age 37, he's not going to give you any problems. He's going to be great in the clubhouse, as they say, and he understands his role and he can shoot it. He says this will be a really good underrated signing for them.
And Crawford
Crawford.
Oh yeah.
Oh, everybody does. The national publications were very high on the Timberwolves signing Crawford. Another thing is he's 37 years old, but he's amazingly durable.
Mm-hmm.
The guy almost never misses a game.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you don't get hurt. That's a big thing.
Well, if you're going to be durable,
it's good
to not get hurt.
Yep.
I've noticed there's a real similarity there, a pattern almost. Let's see, another text message. With the national media saying the Gophers are likely to win 5.5 games in football and finish fifth in the division, they want to know, Sid, how do you feel about that? They're assuming you think that's too low.
Well, the last five games are going to be very, very tough. They got Wisconsin. They got Nebraska. They got they got Michigan. I can't see how they're going to win any of those games. Their offensive line thing is a big problem, and they need fine depth among the freshmen on the offensive line. If your offensive line is you found out what the Vikings did last year without a good offensive line, and the Gophers will have a big problem with that offensive line going into this season.
I talked to somebody that knows more about it than us, though, the other day, and they said their front seven and their defensive backs, that cupboard is not bare. That is a good-looking defense that will keep them in games. All that they have really left them some nice players in the secondary, linebackers and guys that can play both positions, that will offset a lot of their deficiencies.
Yeah, linebackers as good as any in the Big Ten. All right, need to take a break here, come back. We'll either have Glenn Taylor. If not, we'll probably open up the phone lines. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. The number to call, 651-989-9226. That's the number Clancy used to reach us. Hey, Clancy and Hutchinson, good morning.
Good morning, Mike, Sid, and Dave. Gopher basketball, we're hearing so much about the Timberwolves. Well, we've got a heck of a basketball team coming. Where are we at as far as recruits? We know what's going on in-state. What are we looking at out-state?
Well, Gopher basketball recruiting, Sid, they've still got one Minnesota kid signed up, but rumors all over the internet in the next 2 weeks they might pick up a second Minnesota kid.
They got two of the best papers recruits in the country.
Well, that's for 18.
The
They're already here.
Washington kid and the other kid. Those two guys will turn out to be two of the best they ever had here. And at Washington, they got this Steel Cell tournament. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and he is really set to play it on fire.
Mike, you had a feature on that. Are they drawing people up
there? When I was there, they had a nice, which you would understand as a basketball crowd. Yeah. You know, you'd recognize a lot of the faces, people that really enjoy it. Jamal Thomas, they're trying to get out of Orono. He's got some offers there. Barry Wohler coaches him. The kid that everybody wants down the road is Jalen Suggs. He's the next big deal in this town out of Minnehaha Academy, and I've watched him a few times, and he's a great quarterback as well. And he's going to get to pick between Duke and wherever else it is that he wants. And, of course, Trey Jones sits out there as the front runner for Mr. Basketball in this state next year. And he's
Thompson?
And Race Thompson.
What are you talking about?
Thompson? Oh, Race Thompson's, that's another good player, yeah.
Well, his father wants him to go to Minnesota.
Daryl Thompson's his father, for people not familiar.
I think he'll wind up in Minnesota.
Guys, what do we think about Trey Jones? There was a time when people just scoffed and said, there's no way a Trey Jones comes to Minnesota, but now you're hearing people talk about it and say, it's a possibility. What do you think, Sid?
They're not recruiting him that hard. Duke is, I don't think she recruited him.
He's got, I mean, I talked to him recently. He's got, obviously, Minnesota, Baylor, Butler. For whatever reason, he really likes Butler as a school he's got an affinity to. Duke is in there, and UCLA's in the mix with him, too.
Gentlemen, I'm going to interrupt this. Glenn Taylor is with us. Sidney?
Glenn Taylor, what was your reaction when your coach said, I want to trade Rubio?
Oh, mine was kind of hesitant. I really like Ricky. Have a great relationship with him. Thought he was improving in the last part of the season. Listened to the coach, listened to the general manager, and listened to their all the pluses and minuses, and then agreed with them that if they could get a good shooting point guard, that we probably should go ahead.
Okay. What's your salary cap right now? How much money do you have to sign more players?
We just have enough to sign three, without doing anything on our team, we have enough to sign three minimum level type players.
Are there some good ones out there?
There is, especially at the guard position. There's a lot of guys out there that didn't get signed. The wing position where we need three-point shooters, there's not as many, so we're going to have to be, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have to be able to perhaps sign one of them.
But probably a point guard, one more point guard too, huh, Glenn?
Yeah, the point guard, though, I think there's plenty of opportunities to sign a guy there. There's just a lot of them out there because of the draft this year that it went down and left some pretty good guys still available.
How much do you think your coach, general manager, has strengthened the team for next season?
Well, a lot, just because they've added Butler, I mean, if you start with him and have one of the top players in the league on your team, you really help. And then bringing in a couple of, maybe three, I would say, fellows that are veterans that have been playing under you know, with teams that have gone into the playoffs, certainly will help our young guys.
What do you hear about Crawford? I see the National Services are very high on his future, despite his age.
Yeah, Crawford is a guy that we tried to get a number of years back, a couple of times. We tried to get him on our team, so I know him very well. I personally have had conversations with him, so I just like him as an individual, and I, of course, I like his ability to come in on a game. He's just not afraid to shoot. He's a good three-point shooter, and especially, you know, he's willing to come off the bench to do that and help our second team.
Are you going to hire re-sign Muhammad?
Probably not, in the sense that we had made him an offer, a couple offers last year and this year, and they didn't accept it. So, you know, I think it's going to be hard to do that. I mean, I would never say no. I think he's a great player. We'd like to have him, but the amount of money that we now have is less than what we had offered him last year and what we offered him this year.
Glenn, you're going to go overseas this year, and I was talking to Becky, your wife. It sounds like you guys are going to make the trip as well. Do you get a lot? Will you try to get a lot of marketing out of that? You have a unique situation with an owner that's a part of it. What will you try to? How do you make hay on a trip like that?
Yeah, no, you're right. We won't only take our team players along and our coaches, but we're going to take our business people with us too to try to. See if we can get some companies and sponsorships that want to sell in the United States, some Chinese companies that would be willing to do this and at least start the beginning of that process. And we feel fairly confident because of the work that we've done in the past that it'll be a very good trip.
Glenn, going back to your roster for a minute, near the end of last year you got very little production out of Bielitsa because you couldn't keep him healthy. You talked to the coach. How big a role do you expect him to play in this coming team?
I think a big role. The coach really likes him. I mean, everything we see about him, that he can shoot threes, though he didn't start out very good with that last year. He can shoot threes. He's a good passer. People will have to defend him, and that should open up some of the other guys. So he's a great guy to have on the court with other shooters.
Okay. How is the ticket sale as a result of all the players you're signing?
Well, it's really helped just by the starting with Butler, then getting these other people on that I think our fans are quite confident that we're going to get into the playoffs and see on every game a very competitive game. I mean, you know, the Western Division is going to be tough. We know it, but we should be in there with every team. Last year we played well, but we just lost. This year with these fellows, it should make a difference, and the difference should be that we should get a lot more wins.
Glenn, I spent a part of yesterday with Carl Anthony Towns out at his basketball camp there and had a nice visit with him, and his father was out there. He's a coach, too, helping him. And then I was sitting there with some of the people, and we started to speculate based on the contracts that you see now in the NBA. I mean, he could go to $200 million the way that he's pacing right now.
Well, that's part of the planning that we're going to have to do for the future to figure out how we're going to keep which of these guys we can keep together and how we can keep them together, and it's going to be difficult. I think we're all set for this year, and I think we're set for next year. It's when Carl's contract comes up that we're going to have to be, you know, working to see how we can keep these guys.
Are you going to have trouble signing him and Wiggins?
Well, I hope not. The money, I think, that those are the guys we want. We have to figure out who we can surround them with.
Glenn Taylor, thank you. Always a pleasure. We get your Murray certificate.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's Glenn Taylor. We've got another half hour to go. We'll try to get you involved, a couple of guests. Stick around and join us. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, we are back. One of the fun things this time of year is the Starkey Gala always brings athletes to town. One of those athletes coming this year is Barry Zito. Twins fans saw a lot of Zito when he pitched for the A's in the early 2000s and spent about equal amount of time with the Giants after that. But I want to welcome you here and tell us about your new EP, No Secrets.
Yes, sir. Good to be with you guys. I did went right into songwriting after baseball, and actually came from more of a musical family than an athletic family, so the people that are close to me aren't really surprised, but I'm just glad to sink my teeth into something.
Barry, take us back. We were talking to Tom Kelly from the Twins, but it's 15 years ago already. You pitched against the Twins twice in the postseason. 2002, yep. When they beat you, and then you came back and beat them at the Metrodome when you had Frank Thomas and he had a couple home runs and finished them that year. Take me back to those kind of semi-rivalries with the Twins in the postseason.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, the Twins, they had such solid teams, and obviously, you know, the Soul Patrol in the outfield was like the coolest nickname ever. But, you know, in the Metrodome, I don't think a lot of people around the league realize how intimidating it was to play in a max capacity Metrodome when they took the tarps down and right. And I just remember pitching that playoff game in 2002, and it was so loud. I think they measured the decibels, and it was louder than a live concert that, you know, a Who concert, and the Who were notorious for performing the loudest. And I could attest to the fact that it was the loudest thing I'd ever heard, far beyond any stadium, even Yankee Stadium.
You know, Barry, they talk about finding people can go 200 innings and that being such a high water mark. I was looking at your career from the time that you really were part of the rotation, 2001 through 2006, six consecutive years of the Athletics, every one of those years in excess of 200 innings pitched.
Yeah, I was fortunate to not have too many injuries, you know. And so, you know, with Oakland there, I didn't really know, you know, I think as a young player, you don't kind of know better. You just kind of do what you're doing. And, you know, that was kind of the beauty of my Oakland years and, you know, staying healthy and all that. And then, you know, I was pretty healthy in San Francisco, although I did have some struggles over there. So, you know, but I think it was a little bit more mental than physical.
You pitched for the Giants and you pitched for the A's. What kind of rivalry is there out on the West Coast between those two teams?
You know, I think it's a friendly rivalry just because they're in two different leagues. You know, but the one thing I was very, you know, intrigued to hear was that the greatest rivalry of all time in baseball was actually the Dodgers-Giants rivalry, you know, beyond what we would all think maybe with the Boston-New York rivalry, because the Giants-Dodgers rivalry obviously dated back to when those teams were both in New York. And so that was quite a rivalry going down to L.A. and, you know, hearing what those fans had to say to us while we were in the field out there.
You know, Barry, we all saw the movie, or most of us, Moneyball, and Billy Beane, who was part of the 87 Twins team as well, the general manager. How'd the players like the idea of Moneyball, the movie, and all that aura that went with it? Because there's a side, I guess if you're a player, you can make a case for either side of that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, something that a lot of people don't know about Moneyball is that, you know, that the original script was actually canned, and the original director was actually canned as well, because I think it was kind of going to be a movie geared just towards baseball fans, and then they kind of redid everything, and it became a movie that obviously had notoriety far outside the game. But, you know, there was a part of that whole thing that I think as players we were like, well, you know, we had an MVP and a Cy Young.
Say you had a great rotation of Miguel Tejada. That ain't exactly budget ball.
Yeah. Nobody mentioned it. And, you know, given that our rotation was still budget friendly, you know, a lot of those guys, they were not free agents. You know, we were all just young players. But the fact that they didn't even mention any of that in the movie was...
No, they almost made it look like they went out and got a softball player to play first base or something, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and Hatterberg obviously had a huge impact on the team, but you can't, as you guys know, you can't win baseball without pitching, so...
Hey, Barry, before we let you go, why don't you tell the listeners what brings you to town? A lot of people here are familiar with it. It's a local company.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bill Austin, you know, Starkey Hearing Foundation, just incredible stuff. Bill started the foundation in 1984, and what they do is they go on missions across the world, and they give, you know, the gift of hearing to children and adults across the world. I think they've helped over 1 million patients in 100 countries, and I had a chance to meet them down there in Haiti and work with Brady Forsythe, the executive director, and, you know, and outfitting kids with hearing aids who had never heard in their life. So for me, you know, that experience just lasted, and this is my second year back, and I plan on coming back. And we have our big gala tonight where we're going to raise money and, you know, increase the reach of the Starkey Hearing Foundation. It's just incredible.
Yeah, tonight they have the gala. Bill Austin, what a job he does with that deal. And one of the people are going to be honored tonight are the Wolf family for all they do for the Holocaust, for survivors and everything else. Thank you. Before we hang up, before we change, I want to congratulate you on your great operation, that big party you had last Tuesday.
Kevin's concert?
That is a big-time operation. All the great people you had there and all the great prizes where people could...
the auction? Yeah.
Yeah. I was really impressed.
Yeah, it's 8 years. Had a chance to do that, and we appreciate all the support that we get. Raised a lot of money for cystic fibrosis.
All went well.
Appreciate it.
It.
Yeah, did yeah. very well.
Did Sid sing along Sid was, with this year?
Sid never missed a beat. Yeah, absolutely. All right. I want to thank our listeners, too, who took part in that. We'll, as we say goodbye to Barry Zito here, we will. I'm going to give the phone numbers. We'll take one or two more calls in conjunction with a guest that we've got, and then we'll have Dave St. Peter joining us in about 8 or 9 minutes. You're listening to Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. We are back. Going to try to get two callers in here and then a quick conversation with Carl Anthony Towns before we go to Dave St. Peter. Let's talk to Ron and Benson. Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, thanks, you guys. I got to say this from last week. What a fantastic interview you had with Terry Steinbach.
Wasn't that fun? Thank you.
That was super. Just super. Yeah, thank you. Excellent. I'm going to make an outrageous statement, and I'll let you react to it. In my opinion, in the last 10 years, the Minnesota Twins have wasted and squandered more Major League batting talent than any Major League franchise in the history of baseball because of this mildly insane obsession with pitch count. It's called protect the plate. If you got 2 strikes on you, and the pitch is close, you better be swinging, and don't whine about the umpires. I'll wait for your comments.
I lost on that one a little bit.
I'm not sure the pitch count. You're trying to get deep
how
into
that comes together.
Yeah, taking the first pitch, maybe. I'm not sure where that was headed. But
I see. You take the first pitch so that you drive the pitch count deeper. Yeah, right. I think that's just player by player, though. I'll tell you this. The Astros don't wait long, some of those hitters, do they?
They come up right.
You get it close, and they're going to swing from the heels.
I love watching this team. All right, one more caller. Jeff in Glenwood. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I got a question. Do you guys know anything about Glenn Perkins' status? Is he going to be able to pitch again sometime, or do you think his career could be over?
It could be over. I don't think they're counting on him, put it that way.
Yeah,
Dave,
Sid,
right?
What do you hear about Glenn Perkins? Caller wants to know about Glenn Perkins. It doesn't sound very promising.
I don't think there's any chance he'll pitch again. I just think his arm has not come around. He's down at Fort Myers right now on trying to get back in shape. But it doesn't look too good, I don't think.
Velocity doesn't seem to be there. Mike, you caught up with Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
During the week. Let's listen in.
Just so blessed to be here with Pro Camps, hosting this great camp here in Eden Prairie. Turnout is great. I mean, we're at capacity, and you know, it's great to give so many kids opportunity to learn the game of basketball.
Yeah, I asked you, when was the first camp that you remember going to, and were you always the star of the camp?
You know, I think for me it was real young. I mean, I went to somewhere in Piscataway. I think the earliest camp I can remember was being at Knowwood Middle School out in Piscataway, and really just every Saturday kind of going through the rounds and trying to play basketball against other people from my neighborhood, and just trying to prove my worth of in the game of basketball.
Were you always the best?
I always felt I was the best. I always felt that I looked the best and I played the best. But you know, Piscataway is a different breed. You know, it's confidence for everyone is at an all-time high. You either have real confidence or fake it. And, you know, everyone just there feels that they're the best.
What would you tell a kid when you get them one-on-one that they need to know, what you know about what it takes to get to where you go?
I think the biggest thing is just chase your dreams. You know, we're here with so many kids, and I can see my face and all their – I can see just the excitement I had when I went to camp in their face. And I'm just so blessed to be here. And just mostly I would just tell them just chase their dreams. Don't let anyone tell you can't do something, because everyone told me I couldn't be what I wanted to be, and now I'm here in Minnesota playing in the NBA.
Speaking of which, how do you like your new configured team?
I mean, we're great. I think we're doing a great job. We're gelling, and we're getting ready for the next season. It's about taking that next step. You know, every year I've been saying next step, next step, and I think we've just been building bricks, and we're now trying to build a house out of it.
You know Jimmy well, and you travel with him. I know some. Tell him about Jimmy Butler and your relationship with him.
I mean, he's a great guy. I mean, you know, I've known him for a while since the 2K commercial, and you know, we've been blessed to have the opportunity to know each other before the trade, and it's going to be very, very fun to be a teammate with him now, and I think we have a lot of things stored.
Do you feel really good right now about the Minnesota Timberwolves facing everything?
I mean, I felt great every year. I think every year I felt very, very confident and very blessed with the opportunity to be here. And I think that this year, you know, it's another opportunity we have to go accomplish our goals, and we are
our goals just got much more lofty. But, you know, the expectations have always been there, and we intend to exceed them.
Oh, that's Carl Anthony Towns. Quick break here. We'll talk some baseball with Dave St. Peter on the other side as you listen to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right. A lot of interesting Twins-related things going to happen in the next week or so. We thought it'd be a good morning to try to get a hold of Dave St. Peter. And Sid, he joins us right now.
Dave St. Peter, one thing I want to talk to you about is a TV situation. I talked to you the other night, and I found out that the package costs $23 a month, and you were telling me that was a problem. A lot of people can't pay that.
Well, Sid and Dave, good morning. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's always been a lot of, I suppose, discussion about the cost of cable and or satellite, and of course, our games, all of our games, are distributed generally via cable, via Fox Sports North, and you know, it's proven to be, I think, obviously a really critical package for most people to have to follow the Twins, the Wild, the Timberwolves, and other sports. But there's obviously a sea change going on as well in terms of that business and the number of folks who maybe aren't choosing to go down the cable and or satellite route, particularly younger people, Sid. So Major League Baseball, the Twins are no different than any of the other sports, trying to assess that situation and determine maybe what that business model is going to look like over the long haul.
Is that TV situation going to change?
Well, I think it is changing. I think it's changing. And we distributed a game the other night via Facebook, Sid, first time ever for the Twins. I think you're seeing that again with all the sports, experimenting within the distribution of games via different channels. I certainly think that Major League Baseball is at the forefront with MLB.com and BAMTech and some of the other things that have happened nationally out of our under Rob Manfred's leadership. But short term, I don't think fans need to worry. I think, you know, obviously our games continue to be distributed via traditional channels, but I think there's going to be incremental ways to follow the Twins going forward, whether it be through your phone, whether it be through your tablet or any other device.
Well, Facebook, good. Sid's more of an Instagram guy, but I think we're talking for our audience in general. Dave, big things coming up. Obviously, the Yankee series, I would assume your advance is very, very strong on that, and a lot of talk about the 87 Twins reunion.
Yeah, we're going to have big crowds, obviously, through the Yankee series, and we're excited this weekend. I think one of the things that we'll do on Friday to try to launch the tribute to the 87 Twins is we're going to unveil the Tom Kelly statue out on Target Plaza. That ceremony will take place about 4:30 on Friday afternoon, and then virtually every living member of that team will be on hand over the course of the weekend to interact with fans, and then a big pregame ceremony on Saturday night before the 6:10 Twins-Tigers game at Target Field.
And, of course, getting Colon in to pitch to Judge is a great matchup because I think that Judge was born when Colon made his major league debut.
Yeah, he faced the 87 Twins, I think.
We certainly all remember Bartolo Colon coming into the Metrodome with those good Indian teams against the Twins. So it'll be fun. You know, obviously, I think it's been well documented, what happened last week. But, it's not like we've had great success out of that fifth starting spot for our club. So I think it's one of those moves that is worth trying. There's obviously a lot of hype that comes along with Bartolo. He's trying to figure out a way to stay in the game long enough to become the all-time winningest Dominican-born pitcher. But hopefully he'll give us a chance on Tuesday night. I know in the short term there's going to be a lot of focus on that game and particularly on the matchup you mentioned against Mr. Judge.
There'll be a lot of things going on with all those 87 players coming to town.
Yeah, no question. Sid, I have long believed it's the most beloved sports team in Minnesota sports history. That I think that'll be the case until maybe the football team wins a Super Bowl or the hockey team wins a Stanley Cup or the NBA team wins a title. But that club did a lot of special things, unexpected things, and they also were a wonderful group of characters. And unfortunately, we're missing one big one of Mr. Puckett, but the balance of that club will be on hand, and I know fans like to come out and have a chance to watch those guys.
Dave, tickets still available for the Yankee series? I know you've got some big crowds expected.
Yeah, by all means, tickets are available for all of our games, David. I wish we were sold out, but we're not. We've got work to do on that front. But, yeah, we expect crowds north of 35,000, I think, over the course of that series. But tickets available. There's actually more tickets for Monday night than there are for Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay, Dave, thank you very much and for appearing on the show. I get your Murray certificate. Tim Murray loves it when you show up. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Dave, thanks for joining us. Dave was at a special event this morning. Broke away from it to be able to join us. We appreciate that. All right, we've got time for a couple more text messages here. Sid, this one was aimed for you, and I wanted to make sure we had time for it. It's Twins related. Are you happy you're having Jason Castro as the catcher for the Twins over Kurt Suzuki, who had a two-home run game about 10 days ago?
Well, hey, Kim Castro's got a lot to do with some of the pitchers being much better. The other guy who was here last year, he hasn't hit much, I'll tell you that.
I didn't look at it. He was around 220 the last I checked, but he did have a couple of home runs, which is something he didn't do a whole lot of here. I think the pitching staff, generally, Mike, and you're a lot closer than I am, but I think the pitching staff with Castro and Jimenez, they're pretty happy throwing to those guys.
Boy, they're talkers, both Jimenez and Castro, and I mean that, you know, in the best sense of the word. That you get into a real good discussion with them, and they're big communicators, and you can see why they wanted these two specifically, because, you know, a lot of teams, they, you know, they don't value hitting and catchers anyway, and so if you're not going to hit, you got to be able to do something, and both these two seem like they can do something.
Sid, I got a question for you. I've been watching Twins games of Polanco, who we all really liked the first 6 weeks of the season, fielding way better than anybody expected, but hitting the ball. He looked like he's going to be a solid addition to the Twins batting thing. He swung at a pitch last night. It's one of the worst pitches I've seen a Twins batter swing at all year. How do they feel about Polanco right now as their shortstop?
About who?
Polanco, the shortstop.
I don't think he's doing that great. He cost them a game the other night. They should have had a double play.
Oh, that eight-run inning,
He did, but the pitcher could have stepped up a little bit, too. I mean, Barrios can't let an error affect him like that. He couldn't throw a strike after that.
I don't think he's been played that well.
I talked to Gene Glinebaum because Gene works with all the infielders just the other day, and they love Polanco's hands and feet. And that'll keep him in the big leagues for a long time. And they love his attitude. So now he's still got a hit because you mentioned they're throwing waste pitchers the other night that he knew he was going to waste, and he's swinging at him.
Yeah, it was really a brutal swing and miss.
Let's face it, this team has done so much better than anybody expected.
That's true.
And that was a big game they won yesterday. They had us do something to Houston. Houston was killing them.
And everybody
else. I'll tell
you,
one of the great games I watched yesterday, Yankees and the Red Sox.
It's still going on.
Yeah.
Just about. That was amazing.
The Yankees have gone in the tank. They were way out in front.
Yeah.
Then they got a million players hurt.
Yeah, well, they're going to be here this week. That's always fun time. We're out of time, gentlemen. Appreciate everything. It's been another fun week here in the studio. We got a quick question. How do we think the Lynx will do? I think the Lynx are going to win. I think we probably agree on that. When they played L.A. head-to-head, they did very, very well. All right, Matt Burke started things out. Larry Fitzgerald, Tom Kelly. How much fun is it to talk to Tom Kelly? We look forward to that all week, knowing he was going to be a guest. P.J. Fleck in his usual time. Taylor Rogers. He was an interesting guy to talk to. Bruce Boudreau, Barry Zito and his band. I got a new EP out. Dave St. Peter, Glenn Taylor, Carl Anthony Towns. It's a heck of a week. Thank you for your text messages and your phone calls. We'll do it all again next week. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.